This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Tuesday.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Final two Sabres games coming up this week tonight at home against Toronto.
Thursday.
Thursday at home against the Philadelphia Flyers. Montreal still trying to figure out how to secure that final wild card spot. Although Ivan Demidov looked like a lot of fun and like a stereotypical Russian player, which I don't know. I don't know if you love that or
why,
not. But
why can't I have the dumb team that can't close out the playoff spot?
Well, we because do that in November.
Because that would mean my team would be in the playoff spot. But no, I can't even have that.
No, can't have that. Cannot have that. We are inching closer to the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tonight, the play-in games for the NBA begin. Which I kind of wish the NHL would do something like this because it would be fun. It would be interesting. You know, there's a good chance the Sabres could be involved in it. I don't particularly love it in the NBA. I also don't know how much of the playoffs I'm actually going to watch. But if you are so inclined, tonight begins that. Hawks, Magic, 7:30 on TNT. And then following that, Grizzlies, Warriors at 10 or really whenever Hawks, Magic end. And then tomorrow, Heat, Bulls, and Mavericks and Kings. Those games on Wednesday, though, will be on ESPN. Today, though, we're going to go a lot of draft NFL. If you haven't seen it, there's some rumblings about Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins seeking a trade potentially for each other, even though Ramsey's contract looks to be nearly untradeable. There's a lot of rumblings with Tyreek Hill and everything going on with him. It seems like every year. And then draft visits. The Bills had a lot yesterday at some very specific positions. And Derek, we were talking in kind of where we kind of threw the question out for today is, well, like last year, how would you feel if the Bills next Thursday night trade out of the first round?
I'm going to say something potentially controversial. If you didn't hear me say it yesterday, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only am I ready at this point, I am very excited if that becomes the case. Because then I get to do several things. One, I get to watch your crippling sanity and the rest of it crumble live on air.
Yeah, it's already on a knife's edge, dude. So it's already on a knife's edge.
I also get to see whatever Nate's reaction is. That's a mystery. I might need to text him just to be like, hey, what do you think? And then I'm also going to very quickly be able to pivot to, all right, we get out of here in like the next 10 minutes now because we're done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back for a loaded day two where they already have 2 second round picks. If you trade out of the first round, you're probably getting a third, which means you have 4 picks in 2 rounds. Ready, set, engage. I'm beyond ready for it. I'm actually kind of embracing and now almost cheering for it.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable.
I'm glad you brought up embracing and borderline cheering for, because that's how it's felt us talking off air. I'm like, I feel like he wants to see this happen. I'm cool with it. If it happens, I'm for it. We were just mentioning with Sneaky Joe as he left. If they got a third-round pick trading back, I'm happy, because I think that gives them a lot of options to what they want to do. I think it opens up their draft board more, especially when you look at a lot of their pre-draft visits where they want to get guys and who they're bringing in on visits. I'm still going to be kind of annoyed, though, having to work till like midnight and be like, oh, and we got nothing. Awesome.
So I'm now looking at this in several benefits. This is how much I'm embracing it at this point. One, we get paid the same amount no matter what. We're going to be here for a certain amount of time. And as a matter of fact, if they announce that they're trading out, do we even really need to be here for the end of the first round?
No, but they're a pick 30. So
yeah,
like
they're basically there. You've already stayed up anyway.
Like, yeah, well, yeah, but it's like it's
for fans' sake, I understand it. Because
but you're
of the
watching
fact,
a movie, and then all of a sudden you find out it's a part one instead of a part two, and you're like, wait, what?
Ready? Depends on how good the movie is, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
yeah, context matters.
Context matters. I mean,
say the big board is falling exactly the way you want it to fall, and there are like six players that the Bills could take that fans are very comfortable with at 30, and then they trade back. And they don't go far. Say they go to like 34 or 35 with like the Giants or Tennessee, who decide, no, I'm going to go ahead and take Jackson Dart at the end of the first round for some reason.
Hell yeah.
And the Bills get an extra third round pick out of this. Score. That's a damn good cliffhanger. Would you say not?
No, I mean, it's a good cliffhanger. That's
because
nice.
Last year was infuriating based on two things. One, the wide receiver train ran off the rails.
It was fun, though.
It was fun, but it ran off the rails. And two, the player with like the flashiest traits was the player that got taken by the most hated team. And the Bills provided a minor assist to that. But the Bills saw the draft board and were comfortable trading down not once, but twice out of the first round entirely. It was far more frustrating because the Bills took a shuffle from four picks, and they did it in two trades. So we were like, okay, so they're going to pick the last pick of the first round. And then no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just because of the fact that they traded out of the first round. It's, for some people, it was who they traded with. And it was what was taken. Because three of them were wide receivers as the Bills bowed out of round one.
Mm-hmm.
So the train, it got derailed. There is no train this year. We're riding a small little guy, little powered engine. Nothing too crazy. It's not going full speed with the beef wagon.
No,
well, I need my defensive tackles, but it is so deep that I don't need it in round one. I don't even need it necessarily with my first pick of round two. It's that deep. If they trade down, I want it to be no lower than 36, though. Context matters.
And that would be Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
36.
Yeah, you've got Cleveland, New York, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. If I see the right team show up at pick 30, that tells me, okay, we're going to get ourselves a good haul then. At least something important enough that day two becomes another wacky, fun-filled, crazy day. Oh, and we will still have to be working until the same time anyway. So,
well, I mean, yeah, but for me, like, I'm looking at it.
Actually,
like,
I'm starting to think we would get out earlier if the Bills don't make a pick again.
Maybe.
Well, we would have to get more reaction.
Yeah, maybe.
We would probably have to wait for someone to talk.
I look at it like this. I loved Dune Part 1 and Part 2, the latest movies from Denis Villeneuve.
Right.
I loved them. Dune 1 kind of ends in a weird spot, though. Paul and his mom kind of walk into the desert with the Fremen, and you're like, that's it? That's where we're ending?
That's why I said context matters.
But it would sort of feel the same way even if Jackson Dart, you know, goes to Cleveland or whatever, that they do something like this. It would still be like a good movie. Good movie. You know, good decision. They get a lot back for it, what have you. It'll still have this feeling of, come on, make a pick. I'm not saying it's necessarily right, but they have needs. They need starters. You could arguably say
this is a starter's draft.
Yep.
It's star power that they lack.
And at 30, you're not guaranteed any of that.
No, that's right.
As a matter of fact, at any pick, you're not guaranteed any of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Travis Hunter could have, like, one of the worst things happen to him luck-wise. I don't ever want to wish injury on a player. But, like, those things happen. Tre'Davious White was going to be a long-term staying star power player at corner for the Bills. Then injuries took it.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen. Nobody's guaranteed a star. Nobody's even guaranteed a starter. But if this is such a deep draft where you can get starters up and down days one and two, I want as many picks as possible in those first two or three rounds. Simple as that. How you do it does also matter. But if you're giving me more darts on the dartboard,
well, yeah, because the more ammo you've got is the best policy for the draft.
Not to mention, this is where, say they trade out of round one. Round two, you can get very aggressive with your two picks at the end of round two. You have all these fifth and sixth round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can start piling them together to move into the middle of the second round with one of those. Day two is where you're going to see them at their most aggressive. They love having a third-round pick. They can move up in round two. They would be able to be the agents of chaos in round two to where they can really do some damage. They can do significant damage based on this, and I'm all for it. Does it mean that I have to sacrifice my sanity to be sitting here in 12:30 to find out, no, they're not making a pick? Sure. I don't have much of it left anyway. I'm in radio.
There you go.
Then I also get the bonus of watching you crash out on air. Mm. And as a friend, that is one of the most genuinely awesome things that I will get to see.
The crash out's only happening if Kenneth Grant goes either right before or right after the Bills trade out.
Yes.
It's the only time
if
the crash
before,
out comes.
If it's before, then there's a reason to pull the parachute then.
Yeah, it'll be like, all right, get out of here.
Yes. If it's after, then yes, I would absolutely see it, and I would continue to lose my stuff, that you're losing your stuff. And I cannot wait to talk to all of you and try to calm you down in the small amount of time that we will take calls before we go to bed. They pack it up. If the Bills pack it up, so do we.
That's the thing, too. It'll probably allow me to go to bed quicker because like all the adrenaline will be pretty gone.
See?
Yeah.
You're welcome. I'm helping you right now.
No.
I'm helping you. I'm helping you. I'm not helping fans, and I have to say that.
Specifically helping you.
We are talking about a selfish problem here. For everyone that's a fan that is going to be staying up, like it's not their job, and then they find out that the Bills trade out, you get to sit there and you all get to say, I stayed up for this. And I will say, I'm sorry. But I'm not in charge.
I do want to bring this up, though, and someone tweeted in as well. Bram tweets in about this. The value of trading back. And this is maybe where it's getting me to. Oftentimes, the trade back does not give you the value you want. So here we're talking about this. Like, we're going to swap our late first for we've brought up Jacksonville, so 36. You go from 30 to 36. You're in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping they get a third round pick and maybe something else.
Based on trade value?
Probably getting a fourth.
But then you still pair two fours and get in there.
Right.
Because the Bills rarely pick in the fourth round anyway.
You're hoping you can get in there.
It's not a hope at that point. Value's too good.
No, I mean you're hoping you can then get into the third round.
That's what I'm saying. Two fourths is good enough. It gets the job done. And, oh, you have four fifth round picks. You're not using all of them, especially because three of them are within four selections.
The way I'm looking at this, though, is every report I keep seeing is that no team really wants to trade up, except for the quarterbacks.
And I call...
So how much is that actually going to change in round two and three?
And I call malarkey on that.
I don't. The quarterbacks aren't good.
Right? That doesn't matter. If a team likes a player, they're going to move up. The question is, how much does it value to another team to move back? That is the main thing here. If there are starters, and it is such a deep draft class, you should be comfortable with moving around if your big board is valued properly. Because it's not about, what the public sees or the mock drafts or the big boards from analysts. Teams construct their big boards very differently. And if they see that there is a player that they love that is not even going to be on people's radars, they can drop down because they know where the value is going to be. My favorite thing is when general managers play Halo Reach and take a guy that has no business going in the round that they're going in, like Cole Strange with the Patriots a couple years back, Sean McVay
hilariously laughing at the pick.
Laughing at the pick while having his presser where they don't have a pick. Good general managers understand value, and the Bills have so much ammunition that they will convince teams, you're getting value. We want this guy. The only thing that's stopping you is you're just not saying yes yet to all of these assets I'm giving you.
You got to have two to tango.
You got to have two to tango. And you're telling me that 31 teams don't want to trade down?
No, it's more for me. I don't love building an entire draft strategy on we'll move back to then eventually move back up. You're not getting a quarterback. You need starters on defense specifically.
And that
go get the starters. Rounds two and stay where you have three picks in the top, 100?
After round one, trades are very much more comfortable with teams.
Well, they are because teams are like, all right, this guy fell, we're out.
Well, also, teams hold on to their first round picks like they are jewelry.
Yeah.
Once we get done with that stigma, players get taken by teams. Like, teams move up and down in days two and three like nobody's business. And that is because a draft board will have worked a certain way where a team gets in a fervor about a player still being there and they move. The amount, Brandon Bean said the amount of calls that they got about pick 33 and they still walked in knowing damn well what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And that's a two to tango thing. But that's also pick 33, one of the most often traded picks in NFL's draft's history.
Because you have all day to sit on it. Teams will call you all day.
And not to mention, you still have all that ammunition that you can move up in the second round anyway. So if you don't trade down, there's still potential that you can move up in round two. I'm just saying it gets a hell of a lot easier to be power players in round two if you do trade down.
They need starters.
They need starters.
But my thing is ultimately, this team can't afford another rookie class of, we'll see when he starts to play. They need help at defensive tackle. They don't have a cornerback too. That's why, for me, mostly, I've kind of moved off the Kenneth Grant thing. I think they're going cornerback in round one because they desperately need a cornerback too. They have not filled that position at all. Rasul Douglas is still out there. It seems like that's going to stay that way. And they brought back Dane Jackson. They can't afford to move back in round two and go, we'll see if he works. We'll see if the guy that's left available might work.
Context matters. If the Bills trade out, that means that several of those players will be available.
See, I see it more likely they trade up if there's a run.
They have, and that's, again, where context matters. We are talking about what happens if the Bills were to trade out. That means that a certain thing has happened. Either a run happened and they were too late and they wanted to bail out of there, or they are comfortable with what the draft board looks like to a point where they are willing to be a trade-down piece for another team. It has to do with context. If they move out, there is a good reason for it.
There is a good reason, but I think that's to your
It's an unfortunate reason, probably.
With the context there is that we are annoyed because another run has happened in these draft histories where the Bills stayed pat and went, well, there goes a lot of the guys we wanted. We're going to move back now.
And sometimes that happens, though.
I know.
That's the thing.
But that's the thing is you can start looking at it and go, it keeps happening to the Bills. They get jumped for cornerback. The wide receiver runs happen. And they continue to just kind of stay there. You know, when is the last big baller Bean move that happened? I mean, realistically. Because we know that players and GMs and coaches can all build their reputations off of one or two moments, moves, what have you.
So you're telling me there's a chance, though? Because Bean does have these moves in him. He oftentimes does them in round two, round three.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that requires you to trade out of round one. What are you going to do at pick 30 that's going to wow me?
I don't need to personally be wowed. I need to see that they trust their drafting and can take a player that they think will start.
And you can trust that drafting by bowing out and still respecting value. You can still do that. They you can do both.
Yeah, but they can respect value all they want. Their drafting the last few years hasn't been good enough for me to trust them. Keon Coleman was a fine pick. Not great. His injury probably played a role in that.
Then what happens if there's the first round stigma tagged into it?
So what?
No, that's not so what. We're already getting enough complaints about him.
And he's deserved them. At certain points in his career, Bean has deserved these complaints.
No,
he's
not about Bean. Coleman.
And Coleman?
Yes.
Well, yeah. The stigma's still there.
Nate and I infamously took a caller during pregame this season about Keon Coleman. They should already move on from him. I'm not going to pick out one caller as like the signal of the fan base, but it's already enough to a point where, like, guys, it's 1 year. Can we settle down?
Yeah, it's 1 year. I've also heard people say, well, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't have a great year. Go try to trade for him from Arizona. Like, you're going to have those segments.
And the
of
thing
fans.
Is that stigma is a big thing, but I also know that it has nothing to do with that. It is, we like the board enough that we're going to trade out. Because we know that even if a run happens, we've got five guys we want to take at this selection, and there's only four spots between us and this pick. This is a can't-lose situation. Oh, and I'm getting extra ammunition for this. So it's okay. It genuinely is fine. And again, you and me, it's a different sort of context. We're going to be here no matter what.
Yeah, I think for me, you just... I think you have more faith in Bean's drafting than I do.
It's not even faith in Bean's drafting. It's also about what makes sense. Mike talks about this year in and year out. And I think I finally bought in. I don't need the trade up. They have the ammunition to do it, but they have the ammunition to do it in rounds two and three.
Well, I don't need a trade up. I don't need a trade back. I want them to trust what they're doing and go get the players that will make them better. Get starters instead of, well, Kincaid might play. I mean, we're going to call him a receiver. We're never going to know how to use him ever, even though most analytics seem to like him. Cole Bishop might play. We're going to find out, even though he's a second-round pick. Injuries took it away from him. Osiris Torrence is good, not great.
Osiris Torrence is he's a day-one starter. His rookie year was good. He's a day-one starter.
Kyer Elam, a complete and utter whiff. James Cook at the position. If you're not willing to pay him big money, why take him in round one or two?
I'm okay with getting the most out of him for a first contract. You got yourself a 3-4 year starter.
Yeah, that's fine. That's great.
Out of a second round pick, I'm here for that.
Great. That's good. But he's fine.
But if the position is not going to allow you to value paying him at a rate that you can afford him, that's just your cap at that point. That is a different thing. That it has nothing to do with drafting. James Cook, the pick, it's a good pick.
It's a good pick. I have no issue. My problem is there's too many just good picks. There's too many just, oh, they're fine. They're good. That's why we're here. Baltimore has no problem all the time getting studs. Kansas City, studs. And Eagles, studs. There's the Bills.
Outside of one team there, you named teams that the Bills are on the same echelon of.
Because of their quarterback. That's the difference.
What's the difference of getting studs if your team can't deliver anyway?
Baltimore can't because their best guys do fall apart. No doubt.
I'm comfortable
Kansas City's a dynasty. Eagles have made two Super Bowls in 3 years.
I'm comfortable with you get yourself a player that you know is going to be a starter for you no matter how it happens. If you see the big board fall your way, there's nothing wrong with trading down. As a matter of fact, at that point, it is advantageous for you.
I don't really trust this team right now. I really, in terms of drafting, and if we're just that, I don't really trust them. I think their talent evaluation is too fickle. I think they look for very, very specific traits, and if you don't have them, you're written off. And it has caused issues where they just have a bunch of fine players. How many great guys do they have? This has been a conversation we've had for like 3 years. How many great players do they have?
And what's trading down going to do? What's the difference at that point from pick 30 to pick 34?
In a draft class where it's not really star-loaded, you're Nothing. Maybe missing out on another starter not working out. Another guy just being, okay, so instead of Kenneth Grant, you go and get Devon Walker out of Kentucky, and he's not better. He's just, eh.
Say you don't get Kenneth Grant, and instead you get Trey Amos falling out of the first round. Say you don't get Kenneth Grant, but you trade out, and then you go up from pick 56 to pick 43, and you get Trey Amos or Siobhan Revelle. You get a player from the second round later. You pick a guy at say, early second round. Say they trade out. Say they trade out. You don't get Kenneth Grant. But you get Derek Harmon.
Right. Out of Oregon.
With the beginning of the second round. Then you take that extra ammunition that you have, including the fact that you probably got a third round pick in return now. So you don't need to make that move. That move's done. You did it. You take a couple of those fifth round picks. You take one of the fourths. And you move yourself up and you go make a vault from pick 56 and you grab a player. Like a Benjamin Morrison falling. Tell me that's not a good day. Giving yourself more ammunition to move around the board is exactly the playbook I want to follow.
803-0550, the number two call. Talking training down, the NFL draft. And speaking of that, Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase are taking over Resurgence Brewing for the ultimate draft night party on Thursday, April 24th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $45. They include pizza, all-you-can-drink beer, and drinks. Enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, and crystal clear sound so you don't miss a pick, plus local vendors and giveaways all night, including an all-exclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewing, courtesy of Resurgence. No purchase necessary. You get your tickets now at resurgencebrewing.com. This is WGR.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you once again. And hey, we're getting heavy into the draft. Speaking of which, tune into Schopen Bulldog this Thursday for our annual pre-draft special from 4 to 6:30 p.m. It'll be streaming live on YouTube. We'll bring you the latest insights, mock draft predictions, insider information, and guest appearances from Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, and Sal Capaccio. The show is presented by your Upstate Honda dealers. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today for excellent deals on the entire Honda lineup, including the all-new Honda Passport. Zach and I are really getting into it about like the Bills draft strategies and everything like that. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to label off some tweets from responses from the tweet that Zach sent out this morning. What are your thoughts if the Bills trade out of round one for the second year in a row? I have become more and more in favor of this. There's a draft party where the theme is going to be make a pick, Bills, and I'm okay if they don't.
I'm okay if they trade down depending on the context.
Ultimately, context always matters.
But 75% of that will be make the damn pick.
And I'm okay with it being you can make the damn pick at 34.
Right, right. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Again, the question of the day, what would your thoughts be if for the second year in a row the Bills do trade out of the first round?
Responses are very entertaining.
Mike tweets in, and this is the one that I'm kind of just there. This is where I'm at. Just have Bean tell us if he's trading out of the first round so I don't waste my time by staying up for their pick and then finding out they traded it away.
I'm going to say this. Mike, right there. Mike, I appreciate the tweet. It was probably one of the funnier ones that I've seen. If only it were that easy.
What a dreamland we'd live in if at like noon on Thursday it's like, hey, it's announced Brandon Bean's having a press conference, and he just walks out and goes, guys, we're picking at 33. All right, see you tomorrow. Perfect. I'll see you tomorrow.
I would lose so much money out of that, though, just out of hours.
Yeah, it would hurt you. It would hurt you.
Financially, my wallet is crying.
It would hurt you. But
it would hurt you, too.
I'd leave at 8. I'd be fine. 7. I'd leave at 7.
See?
We'd be fine. Our boss would still have us do the first round. He goes, no.
Yeah.
Do the first round.
Yeah, we would still be sitting here anyway.
We'd still be doing it. But at least I would not have the drama of, I wonder if the Bills are actually going to trade out.
And for fans, it's a lot more beneficial to have that sort of like telepathic message, be like, don't tell anyone, otherwise we're going to find out the narc.
Because that's the thing. You can't ever do that. Unless they were to do it beforehand, like way beforehand, before the draft board even falls a certain way, I would actually be more mad then.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like, okay, you didn't even try.
Yep. Bernie tweets in, I guess it's okay as long as they get some 2026 draft assets. We already have more picks than roster spots available. I'd rather see us use our extra picks to move up for Will Johnson in the first. I don't love the idea of trying to go get Will Johnson. I just don't think you're going to be able to move up that high, especially as it does feel like most draft analysts have like Travis Hunter, number one receiver, number one cornerback. Then Will Johnson's the number one cornerback, even though he did have a lot of injuries this year for Michigan.
Will Johnson's probably getting picked around the 11 to 14 range.
Yeah.
You do not have the ammunition to move up from 30 to do that.
I will say, though, that's an interesting point that we didn't touch on there in the first segment about they already have 10 draft picks. You likely don't have 10 roster spots. You, though, have kind of just outright mentioned you also really don't believe they're going to make the 10 picks. You think it's going to be more trade back to then potentially move up and go get who you want in the second
and
maybe
that,
third round.
And that involves a tweet from Buffalo fan saying should be trading up, not down. Use those fifth and sixth round picks that won't mm-hmm. make the roster in a package. They should be used in trades. They're not going to get used in round one. That's the difference. And that's where I'm in the crux of this discussion of if you trade back, you get a third round pick. Now, all of a sudden, like, hey, I started with 10 picks. Now I have 11 or 12. Why? Like, I have so much picks, I don't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
You start dropping them on the floor. No. That then becomes you are a very active player, more so than I already suspect you're going to be in day two. You are moving wherever the hell you want if you secure your third round pick with a trade down. When I say you can do some real damage in round two, I mean it. It is something where you are effectively, all picks are on the board at that point.
Man, I really wish the Amari Cooper signing worked out more.
I do too.
Not signing, trade.
I do too, but you know, it is what it is. It did also work in a way that nobody suspected.
That's right.
Which
that's
was, right. It kind of opened up the rest of the offense somehow.
It did ultimately open up the offense. My issue, there was not this need to sign him back.
Yes.
Need to get him back in here.
And
that's the less than ideal feeling because now there is – wide receiver is still a need. And
you don't get it, though.
Yeah.
He's available.
He's still available. You're fine. My problem is I don't like the idea of trading a third-round pick, not signing the guy back immediately or having that desire to do it, and then having to kind of crawl back because the draft didn't fall your way. Probably be the same thing with Rasul Douglas, by the way, if cornerback
Rasul Douglas,
go
though, it was immediate contributions from him.
Yes.
For that year that he was traded for. Cooper is different, but I also do think that, say they were to bring him back on a kick the tire sort of deal.
Yeah.
It's a low investment sort of thing, and also, still got the athletic profile.
He's still going to help you.
I don't know what the reaction would necessarily be from other fans, but I do know that I'd be like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than comfortable with get him an entire season with this playbook. I am very happy about that, actually.
Yeah, 8 games played for the Bills. 4 of them he was starting. 32 targets, 20 catches, just under 300 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Honestly, the touchdowns, not bad for 8 games and only having 4 starts.
Well, one of them came after having three practices with the Bills?
Yeah.
Before
it's already
playing.
Impressive. You didn't know the playbook at all. You got yourself a touchdown. That's because Tennessee's dog water, but I digress.
Did also have his own injury as well.
I will say, though,
the wrist injuries, by the way, for the Bills really kind of hampered what we could have seen from that wide receiver room.
Yes, they really did. The injuries this year were kind of frustrating to a point where, like, Keon stagnates. Mm-hmm. Bishop doesn't even get started with his season and is already behind the eight ball.
Yep.
Shakir misses a couple games, and the wide receiver room never looked more disjointed. It was weird last year. I don't think that kind of frantic injury style happens again.
Well, and it was also weird too because ultimately by the playoffs, it was the healthiest they'd been in years.
Yes, that's where it got to. So the other part, though, when it comes down to my humor in the responses, is there are people that it's pretty much I don't want to have to stay up just so that they don't make a pick again.
Yeah, there's not the level of frustration of
it's saltiness.
Yeah, it's more I don't want to have to stay up. to not see anything. And I get that.
I got work in the morning. What the hell are we doing? Like, it's every bar league hockey game ever. And I know that Owen and Josh are in the other room and they can appreciate what I'm saying on this.
They get it.
It's every bar league hockey game. If I'm getting cross-checked in the back, I'm going to turn around and go, dude, I got work in the morning. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just
Bills here. I got work in the morning. That's mm-hmm. Mike's tweet. I wish you would have let me know sooner.
Mm-hmm. I'll have it. And you brought up a lot with the context.
Context matters.
But there
so
is also,
much
but all, to last year, when they traded back, there was a number of receivers we all would have been thrilled for them to take, and they ultimately still moved back. So using that framework, that's where I'll be frustrated if Kenneth Grant's on the board, Trey Amos, Maxwell Harrison, Tyleik Williams, Derek Harmon. If those guys are all there at 30 and they still move back,
that tells you that they're comfortable with getting one of them. Any one of them.
Great. Take the one you like the most and just take them. And just take them. Take the one you like most. When you hit me with that, you're playing the board too much. Instead of, we're just going to add talent.
I appreciate
starters,
that.
Add talent.
It's more of like you want them to stick to their conviction sort of thing.
Have a conviction.
But say, ready? The reason they're trading out then is not because one of those players is about to get taken. It's because Jackson Dart's hanging around. Context matters.
Three quarterbacks are gone by 21.
No.
I'm fully on with that.
I'm of the belief that when the league sees a quarterback class not be stellar, they show it with their drafting.
I think three quarterbacks are gone by 21.
As quarterback needy as the league is, Kenny Pickett was the only one in a terrible draft class.
Oh, man, that was awesome. EJ, only one in 2013, right?
So,
right.
Yeah, when the quarterback draft class is not shown to be spectacular, teams do not reach on them as frequently.
I think, but there's a difference there. Those were bad quarterback classes.
Those were bad quarterback classes. This is meh.
I think this is just an average quarterback class.
And yet, two of them are still going to threaten to be top 10.
Exactly. And then you'll get to a team.
The Steelers, there's no way they take Jackson Dart at 21.
Maybe it's not Jackson Dart at 21.
If it's not Jackson Dart and the Steelers take a quarterback, Josh, at the break, we're going to have to come up with something stupid for me to eat on that Thursday night.
No, maybe it's Shedeur Sanders.
Buffalo Pepsi 2.0.
Oh, wow. That's mean.
That is actually very mean.
Egg salad sandwich.
There we go.
No, that's Jeremy's thing.
Yeah, but you can eat it too.
We can't steal the bit. No. I'm not a bit stealer. I don't want to do that.
But what about Shedeur Sanders?
Shedeur?
There's constantly this ebb and flow. Is he going to drop or not?
So, ready? What happened? Why is he dropping all of a sudden?
Oh, I think a big part of it is he's not nearly as athletic as you'd want a modern NFL quarterback to be. I think that's the biggest thing.
But now I'm thinking the Jets have avoided you. The Saints have avoided you.
Mm-hmm.
That means that things are shaking out a little differently in the top of the first round. One player doesn't fracture an entire big board, but it does start to show something. That means more players are going to get taken and to a point where maybe the shoot gets pulled by the Bills because – there is a quarterback taken. If Shedeur Sanders is there at 30, I'm actually begging the Bills to trade down at that point. Because you're going to get something
to
make that deal.
That's my thing. I don't think he's – I think he's gone by 21. I think Pittsburgh takes Shedeur Sanders if he's there.
So ready? If he goes to the Steelers at 21, that means that some team is going to get horny over Jackson Dart.
Saints.
And trade up.
That's my thing.
If it's the Saints?
I don't think we're going to have that option. It's going to be Milroe. It's going to be Will Howard. It's going to be Kyle McCord.
If it's the Saints, though.
Saints at 9.
Saints are at pick 40 in round 2. That is expensive.
Well, no, I think the Saints are taking him at 9. They're taking a quarterback at 9.
Oh, my God. If they take not Shedeur Sanders at 9 and they take a quarterback.
We'll see.
You know how I was talking about like your crippling insanity?
Oh, Dart going at 9 would kill you.
Kill me in the sense of I'm laughing too hard. Like, I will actually not have air in my lungs to complete the rest of the broadcast.
I've gotten to a point I try not to laugh at any pick because I've been burned by the Detroit Lions a few times.
God.
Cole Strange has ultimately turned out, I think, to be an okay player.
He's actually an okay player based on...
But definitely not first-round caliber. So I've just... Take who you like. That's really what's... Have convictions, take who you like.
Yes, but
Saints are taking a quarterback.
But make sure you stretch before you reach, okay?
Yeah, but Saints are taking a quarterback. They knew about the car thing and everything.
If it's not Shedeur Sanders, I'm going to laugh my ass off. I'm saying it right now because this quarterback class, outside of those two players in Warden Sanders,
It's Cheeks.
I don't think Dart's that bad. I don't think he's worth the ninth overall pick, but I also don't think most quarterbacks are worth that high up. They ultimately, the value
that's
gets
what
them
I'm saying.
That high.
There's no way. I think this quarterback class outside of two players is booty cheeks. It's bad.
You think that way? Most people I see is just as average. Cam Ward is also a pretty darn good prospect. He just doesn't have the flash that you would want from
and
a quarterback.
And he's still going to go number one overall,
probably. He's going to go
probably.
Number one overall, and he should.
I don't even know if he should. He's not the best player in this draft class. No, he's not even the most important need on the Titans. And they have Will Levis playing quarterback.
There you go. They have Will Levis playing quarterback. They can't have that again. They cannot have
and
that
And I
again.
Know. I've said it. You cannot march in good faith. You cannot march Mayo Man out there for another starting season and tell Tennessee fans, hey, stick around. Because then there's going to be four of them by the end of the season.
That's why they're going to take Cam Ward. That's why the Saints are going to take quarterback. That's why Pittsburgh's going to take quarterback. They need quarterbacks.
The thing is that you can need quarterbacks. There is an obnoxious b-hole out there that is available.
Yeah, and he still isn't signed. Pat McAfee did a huge thing in Pittsburgh, still didn't sign. He's waiting for Minnesota, and they're not acquiescing to him.
The thing is that, ready? Once he finds out how the draft shakes out, that is a definitive roster shift within the NFL. Directions are made and chosen. At that point, you know where you're going if you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's either these teams or quit.
And I think teams will put him in that box.
And the thing is that someone's going to blink first. And it's probably the attention-seeking Rodgers.
I think we've already gotten to a point teams are moving off of him.
Teams have moved off of him. But the first one to blink is going to be Rodgers.
No, I think he already has. I think teams have moved off of him. They're into the draft. They're done dealing with his BS.
No, ready?
And so I think teams have already decided if the quarterback's there, we're taking him.
Teams could do that. Plans change.
What, when Rodgers goes, oh, at 41 years old, I'm now ready to play. No, get out of here. We're done. We're moving on.
And again, the thing is that a team could also blink first in that moment too.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will. Teams continue to bring these guys into workouts.
Yes, but teams blink all the time on these things.
They do. I don't think they're going to do it for a 41-year-old who burned the Jets to the ground. He's not leaving Green Bay.
No, you're right. You're right about all of this. It is also teams drink stupid juice.
803-0550, the number two call. Still talking draft today. Do want to talk a little bit on the Sabres. They're playing Toronto tonight. Also, AFC East rival, the Dolphins, continue to have just bad offseason after bad offseason, and the good vibes for them seem to have been completely thrown out the door. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Quick in and out here. Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Of course, always looking for your calls, 803-0550, talking draft. We'll talk a little bit more. One of the prospects, there's a bit of a story about Travis Hunter. We'll talk about that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, again, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
You are listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I love his instincts. I love his route running. I love his ability to adjust to the football. Yards after the catch, it's all immediate. It's instant. Tell me why I'm crazy.
No, dude, you're not, man. I mean, I was surprised when I saw his film.
He's pretty young to playing wide receiver. Like, he's got like a season and a half of play at wide receiver at all. But he's got crazy polish for someone that's that new to playing the position. If I'm the scout in the room, I am banging the table for Jalen Royals.
Sam Monson, Steve Palazzolo, Check the Mic podcast, talking about I think he is my favorite wide receiver in this class. Like, I know him, it's Texas guy. I've been a big fan of Jalen Royals out of Utah State since the Senior Bowl. Big fan of his. He was on pace, Derek, for I think 90 plus catches, over 1,400 yards, and you know, give or take like 8 touchdowns before he had a foot injury, which ultimately played into his Senior Bowl practices and even somewhat of the combine. And he still put together really, really good workouts. Senior Bowl, he was a star there. Combine, I think he was projected to run under 4.4. Mm-hmm. Ran about, I think, 4.43, I believe. This is off the top of my head. But 6 foot, 200 pounds, very, very fluid, very smooth. You heard Sam talking highly about how polished he is, even though he's had, you know, only a few years as a wide receiver. He's the kind of guy, if it's late second round and they haven't traded back, what have you, all of a sudden, safety, don't care. Edge rusher, don't care. Go get him. Because yes. I think he also adds an element that you simply don't have. And we mentioned it, talking about the wide receivers real quick with Amari Cooper. Who is Palmer replacing? Matt Collins, Amari Cooper, both? Probably not both. And let's not act like the receiver room is dead set. They've got clear guys up in front of everybody. I think Curtis Samuel put together a good end to the year. But for most of the year, we were upset about his contract.
Yes, and I do think that they are kind of telling their hand a little bit of when they're going to take a wide receiver.
100%.
Because a lot of these guys are day two prospects. So either they find themselves a way in round three to get back in and get somebody, or they take someone late round two. And that is perfectly fine by me. This Bills team, there's a lot. There's a lot of options you can have here. And we were talking about trading down, how the context matters, everything like that. And sometimes it is make a conviction, make your pick. I will say, if the draft board falls a certain way and you kind of need to pull the chute already, like say there's a run on players that we're all very familiarized with, like Kenneth Grant, Nick Emmanuel, Shamar Stewart, Derek Harmon, and Maxwell Harrison all go within like a 7-pick slide. Before we're even at like pick 23 or 24. Say the Steelers don't take a quarterback and they're like, I'm perfectly happy with best player available right now.
Gross.
Yes, gross, but gross. Also you're looking at it and going, well, we tried.
Pack your bags, we'll see you on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Let Cleveland go ahead and take Jackson Dart. See if I care. So there's a lot that you can end up doing here, and that's where context matters the most. We can argue back and forth until we're blue in the face. But none of us know how it's going to go until it starts happening on Thursday night next week.
Yeah. I think my only My only frustration with that would be they're having runs happen to them again. It seems like they're never part of the runs. They never attack before. They allow it to happen and then they react afterwards. That would be my only frustration. But you're right. If stuff like that happened, yeah, I'd be banging the drum just as much of to move back, and we'll figure it out on Friday. There'll be more guys that are available. But there's also going to be an argument, too, if all those guys are gone, but like Tyleck Williams is there. This team had a real issue in run defense, and he's the big body you need up the middle of the defense. Just take him. It'll work out. That'll work. That'll play. But, well, again, like, as you mentioned, no one really knows how it's going to play out until we actually get to draft day, which is 9 days away from today. Do have some draft notes as well. Bills aren't in play for this at all. But Travis Hunter sat down with Garrett Pottle of CBS Sports, talked a lot of stuff in terms of, you know, playing both receiver and cornerback. Did mention apparently in this interview he would rather retire than not be able to play both wide receiver and cornerback in the NFL. But good news for Hunter and all NFL fans. Apparently, no team he's met with has issue with him playing on both sides of the ball in the NFL. This has been a talking point, I think, for a lot of us. We haven't talked a lot of Hunter just because he's going to be gone by, at worst, pick 5.
At worst, pick 4?
Yeah.
Forget about it. If New England gets it's over.
But this was always a conversation of, will NFL teams actually be okay with him playing both? I was never against it. He's been doing it for years. He did it in high school. He's clearly got the stamina to do it.
And he's got the stamina to – he had the stamina to do it in college.
Yeah, very much so,
It is going to be, all right, we need to see how this goes, because, like, if there's going to be limited impacts on both sides of the ball, how positive are they?
Right.
So that's why teams are probably, like, not against the idea. If we start seeing it actually, like, where are the impacts being made more, then we'll talk as you progress in your career about, okay, maybe we need you to fixate on one side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, well, we got to find out what side that is.
It has helped him, too, the fact that pretty much every draft analyst I've seen, just unanimously, Hunter's the best wide receiver. Hunter's the best cornerback. But he's got to be both. And so that's to your point. Is like, are we going to get diminishing returns on both of them because you're playing both?
And is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. If I'm not going to have him on the field all the time at one position, how impactful are you capable of being on both sides of the football? And I think at corner, that's a lot harder to do than it is at wide receiver.
He played so many snaps in college and played them well.
That's the thing.
That you do have to almost sit back and go, I know it's the NFL. It is going to be a jump. But damn, he keeps doing it. He keeps proving people wrong.
But I'm also an NFL team going, I need to limit your snap count if you're going to do both because you're my first-round investment. You're my baby. I need to protect you.
Yeah, I think realistically it becomes – I think it's less about diminishing returns. It becomes more health.
Yes.
I'm putting him more at risk for injury.
You are at more stress at the NFL level even. And I need to make sure that the modern-day medicine and sports medicine is going to be able to do this for you capably.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, corners and wide receivers, it is a lot of hip movement. It's a lot of technique, a lot of leg. Like, there's a lot to it where – it's not similar movements, but it's similar body parts.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he's been able to succeed even at the highest level of college football is because of that. I need to make sure my sports science has you ready for the aggression and the speed of the National Football League to be able to do both.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try it. And then maybe we have to figure it out from there and go, okay, dial back on X so that you can do more of Y. Because we're starting to see more injury risk on one side of the football, or we're seeing you're not getting enough snaps to make a true difference at one of these other positions.
Mm-hmm.
But teams should be willing to try it.
Real quick on Travis Hunter and Colorado as a whole. So did you see the story that they're retiring both Hunter's number 12 jersey and Shedeur Sanders' number 2 jersey?
So I get one.
Yeah.
I don't... I get one, and I know why about the other.
Yeah.
But, like, Hunter makes sense.
I mean,
he's a Heisman Trophy winner at Colorado.
Yeah.
You're not getting that again.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I mean, maybe you are. Well, Deion could be a good recruiter.
This is their second Heisman ever.
Oh, that's right.
So, it can happen again.
Well, was it?
Salam.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they had someone before.
94. 2,000-yard rusher. It can happen again.
It can happen again. But the thing is that, you know, when you have a player making that kind of an impact, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, Shedeur Sanders, yeah, that's it's a little bit of a nepotism pick on that one. But at the
little
same time, but at the same time, I'm trying here, okay? Let me try the devil's advocate on this. He also might have a case for being one of the better quarterbacks of Colorado Buffalo's history. A decent case for it?
I think it's a decent case. Problem is Cordell Stewart's number is not retired.
Then correct that first.
That's my thing is I can't have Shedeur. If they won the Big 12 this year, if they made the college football playoff, I could find my argument.
Yes.
I could get there where 2 years ago this is a one-win program, and by year two under Deion, you're a Big 12 champion in
and
the college football playoff.
And welcome back there. To Context Matters.
I could get there.
So ready?
But at a 13-11 record and losing your bowl game, I can't get there.
Well, honestly, for me, it's just fix Cordell Stewart.
Yeah, get that done.
Get that done, and then you can do the other thing. You can get away with it then.
Especially because they seem to not be able to wait even for a second to have these two. Their numbers will be retired before the draft. April 19th.
Yeah. That's...
It's this Saturday.
That's... Deion, you got to cool it a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a hair.
Also, yeah, just fix the Cordell Stewart problem, and then you can have the context of, okay, yeah, no, that's fine.
I think as well, I look at the historical things, and I like Shedeur Sanders, by the way, as a prospect. I think his biggest issue, and the funny phrasing I keep seeing thrown around of it, this is not my idea of it, I just keep hearing it, Shedeur inherited his mom's athleticism, right? Like, he's not his dad-level athlete, but he's a very good quarterback. He's accurate, he's got a good arm, not great. Holds onto the ball a little bit too long, tries to make plays with the limited athleticism. But I like Shedeur as a prospect. I really do.
I think he'll learn very quickly in the NFL. It's different.
Yeah.
And if he's able to focus on that and not hold onto the ball too long,
Yeah,
we, in the NFL, it's you got to get your damn ball out now.
Now, the one
in
issue,
college, there are times where you get away with the nonsense. That's why Zach Wilson went second overall.
It's also why Caleb Williams was able to have as productive as a college career as he was.
Oh my
and
God,
struggled a lot in the NFL.
The
so
amount
far.
Of times that he just ran around in the pocket, I looked at it and I'm like, this is kind of like he's kind of manufacturing numbers off of dumb plays that don't happen in the National Football League.
Johnny Manziel was famous for this.
Yes.
Won a Heisman off of it.
Won a Heisman off of it. Got picked in the first round by Cleveland because of it. Almost got picked by Dallas. Which
I want to live
I
in that
think
world.
That was the time that we really should have started paying attention to Jerry Jones's process.
I want to know what that world looks like. Because Zach Martin is a Hall of Fame offensive lineman.
Right. The difference is that the
Stephen
Dallas Cowboys...
Stephen Jones had to walk Jerry off the plank from taking Manziel.
So the reality is the Dallas Cowboys still don't make the NFC Championship game. The end.
Yeah, but it's maybe more funny. Like, Manziel winding up on Cleveland, you can always... Not right. You can always have the argument that it was Cleveland.
Cleveland did it, yeah.
Yeah, Cleveland did it. If he went to Dallas... And was a tire fire?
That would
which
be
which he would have been.
That would be Jerry Jones.
Oh baby,
yeah. You keep saying it, and I do love it. The framework of nobody gets more run off of something that they did in the early 90s.
The 90s, man. He was a trailblazer. He took risks 35 years ago, and he will never not let you know it.
Yeah,
is my favorite attribute of his.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, no, good for you, man.
Anytime he is criticized, he's like, well, a lot of people criticize me. Like, okay, enough. We know. We know you did. And you did well. And now you haven't for a long time.
Very long time. Sometimes they've been good, and also sometimes they should have been the better team. But you're also the first team to lose to a 7 seed.
And he got blown out.
Yeah, badly.
Like, it wasn't like... NCAA tournament. It wasn't like, hey, it was a last-second shot. They made all their threes. Jack Golke became God for a few minutes. There's not much you can do. No, Jordan Love and the Packers offense walked all over you all
day. Jordan Love got a big boy contract for that game.
Yeah, and they walked all over you. And, I never want the Cowboys to change. I really don't.
The thing is that...
So much fun.
There is a certain amount of time. I mean, you know... We all see our end one day.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Jones will see his. Unless he does have a pact with the devil, and then the fun just gets to keep going.
Well, on that, as a Texas fan I am somewhat locked into the Texas football orb, I guess.
Really? I never knew that.
I know.
You never mentioned it.
Stephen Jones may also not be the most fun person to deal with. I have no personal knowledge
he
of this.
He probably also has.
It appears he also might be just Jerry 2.0.
But he also stopped it at first. He stopped the Jerry Manziel pick, or the Johnny Manziel pick. I said Jerry.
Nice Jerry job. Manziel, hell yeah.
But, yeah, I do think that he's starting to have a little bit of that influence where it's about the brand more than it is about the success. But, yes, that was the day. That was the day we really should have all paid attention and went, oh, he's bad now.
They are gonna take a Texas player this year, though. I will be stunned if Matthew Golden does not go there. If Ashton Gentry is off the board,
which he probably should be by 12,
I think Raiders probably go there. I think Matthew Golden to Dallas is written in blood. Nearly.
What about New England? Say Hunter's not there.
Offensive lineman. I think Golden. I like Golden. I do. I never once saw 4.29 speed watching him play. Mm-hmm. I love him as a receiver. He gets open. He makes great catches. I never saw 4.29 speed. And he's an okay prospect at wide receiver. He is not these elite guys. The one I'm frustrated by is actually Luther Burden. His junior – or like actually sophomore to junior slump is should be studied. He went from a guy at 1,200 yards, true sophomore year, 10 touchdowns, 90 catches, great, and then just plummeted to like half of that. He was a guy – this time last year, and you said New England at 4 takes Luther Burden, it would have made complete sense. Now, not at all. And so I think they're going to go offensive lineman, even though this tackle class isn't great.
Yeah.
But they've got to do something for May. They've done the best they can, I think.
You know what's kind of funny now? You mentioned it, like Burden and Golden.
Say the Bills don't have either of those players on the radar.
Yeah.
What if a team needs to trade up in the first round to get that?
And they decide, we'll do it.
And they decide, we'll do it. And the Bills are like, okay. We weren't looking at this.
Maybe. Maybe.
So, again, the context always matters. I'm just happy that under the tweet, I have someone on my side now. As we get connected with our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Steve tweeting in, trading back and having four picks in the top 100 would be huge. They could even trade pick 109 with some of their fifth rounders to move up and have five picks in the top 100. Zach.
That could be nice. That could be nice.
Yes.
They do have three in the top 65.
But still, like, that's a big deal.
Well, but it's more four won't get me there, five would.
Yeah.
Four, it's like top 100. Okay, I have three in the top 65.
But at pick 109? Yeah.
Right.
You're effectively looking at it as, all right, sure, I'll trade you 170.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have pick 169 anyway.
Yeah.
That is not an expensive move up at that point.
No. Look, there's a lot of avenues they go, but you've brought up a lot today. It depends on the context.
Context really does matter here.
If the board has fallen like years past for the Bills where no one really here, this is not great, a run happened, moving back makes a ton of sense. You'd have a lot of picks on Friday
to do whatever the hell
that you
want.
Could play with. And especially if you could make multiple moves to maybe get, as Steve points out, maybe five picks in the top 100. That's
great.
And
even then, you don't even have to use all five picks in the top 100. No. It is. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Mm-hmm. But
I would have so much fun with Friday if they move back.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, A, I'm that rebound and get up and go get it again kind of person. It took me all of 2 minutes to stop being mad at them trading out twice.
Yeah.
Last year. And once that happened, man, something is very funny, apparently. but once these things happen, though, I'm also, it's too late to say anything else about it. Let's go and get it.
Yeah. Where I fall is last year. They had multiple guys they liked that became apparent when they allowed multiple receivers to go ahead of them after they traded back. I hate that. Take the guy you like most. Have conviction. Just do it and move on. You don't have to trade back just because somebody was like, hey, we'll do this. And you're like, oh, well, we actually like all four of these guys. No, you clearly like one above the others. Take that guy because you've got too many good players, not great.
Or your spy agency is very good.
But that's,
keep working the ninjas. Let's go.
That's for me is have conviction. Take the best guy. You need starters. And this is more on defense this year. So if you're like, oh, we like Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, Tyler Williams, and so we'll move back. No. Who do you like most? If they're all there, who do you like most? Take them. You can get stars at the end of these drafts. TJ Watt was a late first round pick. You can get stars.
Matter of fact, he was a pick 30.
Yeah. You can get guys that become elite for you. I am somebody, and this probably doesn't help me in my case either. I'm a big Kenneth Grant guy. I think he has star potential. And I really like the idea of him next to somebody like an Ed Oliver.
It is kind of funny how off the air before the show you were like, I'm kind of giving up on the idea that the Bills will actually take him.
Oh, because I think cornerback's a bigger need.
And now here you are like, no, I'm back.
I think I
want them to pick him at 30.
Oh, I do. I think cornerback's a bigger need.
I want this to happen.
I think they will ultimately go cornerback. It's a bigger need. But if Grant's there and some of the cornerbacks are gone, I'm back on the train.
Oh, my God. If they trade down, if Kenneth Grant's on the board, I'm pretty sure like this table will be flipped. I don't even know how it's possible.
I might just go quiet.
No.
Just turn off the mic and go sit in a corner. Just go quiet.
I'm just going to be like, TJ, we got to go to a break. I got to hug Zach.
But it's just, for me, there's too many good and not great players on the Bills, and I think a lot of it is just they want to move around too much. They want to play the value too much to where they actually miss out on the actual value of the draft, which is getting good players on rookie contracts.
I don't think it has to do with the value thing. I think it has to do with draft board manipulation for the second and third round.
Yeah, it's too cute. Get the good players on cheap contracts.
I mean, I get that, but hey, the way that this team drafts with the third round, I would take it.
Yeah.
They need to be better in the second round, though. That is something we can all agree on.
Second, arguably the first round, they've got to be better on the early picks.
Yes, they got to be better on those first two picks. They do. Mm-hmm. Have to. And as a matter of fact, when I say first two picks, that counts last year. That's Coleman and Bishop.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join us today, talking a lot of draft. Real quick, Sabres note, though, from practice today, Lance Lysowski, Owen Power's injury appears to be serious, said Lindy Ruff, still being evaluated by doctors, so no word yet whether Power will need surgery. He was wearing a brace on his left leg in Tampa.
Cool.
I did not see his injury live. I saw people talk about it. Were you able to see it live?
No, but I saw it, and oh, great. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anyone that complains about Owen Power,
I feel bad for him,
have fun for the last two games.
I feel for him, too, because it seemed like he had kind of found his perfect partner in Bernard Docker. And then also, to this point, season was all but wrapped up. I mean, we're kind of just –
We're playing out the string.
Yeah, we're playing out the games, and now potentially surgery. Perhaps it's a long-term injury where most of the offseason for him is recovery. That – it stings. That stings.
You know how you said something about going silent?
Yeah.
I'm on a necessity to do that.
Sabres are in action tonight at home. Their last two games of the season are at home tonight. Toronto for Thursday, against the Flyers. Pregame will get going at 6 p.m. tonight for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Also, do stay tuned. Joining Shope and the Bulldog today at 5 p.m., Sabres general manager Kevin Adams for his last spot of the regular season.
Oh, sweet.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have your tickets to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card for just one low price of $129. Unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th hole and golf course, Bobolinks, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bonesville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf cart today at getmyperks.com.
My trade down supporters are growing.
I know they are. They are growing. They are growing.
They're growing, which makes me feel better because the Buffalo Sabres are just making me loads and loads of super depresso.
In the break, I watched the injury. And
yeah, no, and I'm of the sort less depresso, more espresso. So we're going to not talk about the hockey team. We're going to bring up this quick tidbit from Josh, who's going to the game tonight because he's insane. Happy birthday, I guess. Go watch the Sabres.
What? I mean, come on.
All right, so what are you doing at the Sabres game?
I am going to do the no phone challenge.
So you're
going
to let the Buffalo Sabres be your only ally for the night. Who are you going with?
My cousin.
That poor tortured soul.
I mean, he'll have his phone. I'm not going to make him not use his phone. I'm just going to do it myself. I don't know. Why not?
What is the no
phone
challenge?
You're a sadist. I'm just going to do what they do at the Masters. I'm going to go and enjoy a sporting event without the distraction of my cell phone.
Okay. You're going to go enjoy the Buffalo Sabres. You're a sadist.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Josh,
they have a good record against the Maple Leafs.
Hello,
be great.
Hello,
actually, they've been very good at home as well.
Hello, FBI, that one right there.
That guy.
No,
that
I'm going to scan my tickets, and as soon as I walk through the metal detector, I'm going to pick up my phone and turn it off.
No, you should do one better. Leave it at home.
I need it for the tickets.
All right.
That is the tough part.
I was gonna leave it in my car.
Have your cousin get the QR code for both of them.
Oh,
you could send it to him.
I could share the tickets. Oh, that's a good idea.
There you go.
Do it on steroids. All right, I'm done talking about the Sabres. Anyway, let's punch down on another team so that I can feel better about my crappy team. The Miami Dolphins are a joke right now. That smile you put on your face.
Well, because it's more like they've been off-season champions for a few years here, but for the most part, they've been incredibly disappointing. The Mike McDaniel years. They've been very disappointing. Fun, flashy at times, but for the most part, empty calories. Now it feels like their attempt to be the LA Rams of the East is gone terribly wrong. You have a lot of legal stuff with Tyreek Hill, and also the fact that when the season ended, he announced that he wanted to get traded, although it seemed like a conversation with his mom cooled that down. I don't know. And now Jalen Ramsey, as the all-pro cornerback, and the Dolphins appear to be in talks about potentially trading him or at least finding him a trade partner. They're not a good team. The defense isn't very good. And the offense is also very one-note. When they play bad teams, they can't get any pressure on Tua against a bad O-line, by the way. They carve him up. That's how they put up 70 2 years ago against Denver. But they play good teams or weather, and they fall apart.
And I will still never understand why the Dolphins gave Jalen Ramsey the contract that they did, considering that his production was declining. He was not the best corner in football anymore. And now you're suddenly moving on from him? Chris Greer really is just, like, at this point, throwing darts at the board and seeing what sticks.
And I do want to bring
this up. And he's actually throwing them backwards.
And I do want to bring this up because you mentioned Greer there. I've talked about my
– He's a bad general manager.
Yeah, my frustrations with the Bills' draft history. The Dolphins have been terrible. They, for a while, have tried to figure out their offensive line. They haven't been able to do it at all. Patrick Paul this past year. Chop Robinson ultimately was a pretty good pick for them in the first round.
Yes.
Cam Smith. Devon Achane's fun. But then their O-line, Ryan Hayes, they go in the seventh round.
Their O-line is their biggest problem.
And they basically just don't touch it. They basically don't touch it. Austin Jackson in 20, disaster. And outside of that, they go cheap free agents. They try to build it through free agency. And ultimately, they've let guys like Christian Wilkins walk because of too high of contracts for Ramsey and Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying Christian Wilkins is this all-pro guy.
But he's better than the options they have at D-tackle.
And it's homegrown talent that you've let walk because of the big swings that you've had at some of these other key positions, which ultimately, at wide receiver and corner, haven't really worked out well for you. Hill has put up incredible regular season numbers. But the Chiefs have been just fine without him. More than fine.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey, he's very good, but he's bounced around a lot and hasn't been the stud that maybe the Rams had for a little while. And, of course, Jacksonville had when he got to Miami. And then you always will have the Tua situation. Even Jalen Waddle, the other wide receiver, he seems to be more of a guy that you thought after his rookie year because he had 100 catches and all this stuff,
right,
that he was going to be a stud. He's good, not great. And they've put a lot of money into that wide receiver position group with Waddle and Hill. They've paid Tua. And you have to wonder kind of why. I think Tua is a good quarterback, not great. And he gets injured too much and is too reliant on everything going perfectly. When everything is on point, Tua is fantastic. Tua has no issue. He'll put up 500-yard games. Did against Baltimore just a few years ago. Absolutely carved him up. That team put up 70 points. But when everything's not going perfectly and or his health is a problem,
they're the Dolphins are not a good roster.
No.
And that's
I've said it for 2 years. We've talked about it. I think they're one of the most poorly constructed rosters in the league.
And that should be enough for a coach who already had to win a power struggle against Brian Flores. That's enough for me to say, no, you're not worth the trouble anymore. Get out.
And I've even brought it up with...
You have your nitpicks of Brandon Bean with his drafting process at this point. Man, I'll tell you, thank God that we don't have the guy in Miami running the show. We've had too many of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is the fundamental level of, no, we don't need to worry about investing in the trenches outward, which is how you succeed.
But it's even stuff like, when I talk about the construction of the team, it's even the personalities. Vic Fangio is unquestioned as one of the best defensive minds in the game. And yet Miami, the players, couldn't wait to run him out of town. He goes to Philadelphia, wins the Super Bowl the next year. And they win the Super Bowl by almost everyone's account by how good the defense was. Now, talent plays a part in it.
Yeah,
I don't want to give all the credit to Vic Fangio because that seemed to be what a lot of people wanted to do on Super Bowl night. And a lot of the talent played that part. But Miami's whole thing has kind of been they're soft. They can't play in the cold. They're a Ferrari. They can go real fast. They can score against bad teams, but they play good teams and
everything
changes.
That's a general manager not picking up on it or instilling the proper culture needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Mike McDaniel being able to play off as being this like cool older brother vibe for the players. hey, guess what? That's your hire. You hired the guy.
And even him, you look at the other offensive
I think McDaniel away from Miami will be a boon for somebody.
I don't know. You look at a lot of the offensive Wunderkind coaches in the NFL. We've had to see them win with backup quarterbacks. Shanahan's done it for years. A guy in Minnesota whose name I am blanking on right now.
Kevin O'Connell.
Ready? They've won with backups and looked okay.
Disgustingly, you could even say Zach Taylor with Jake Browning.
Matt LaFleur for a lot of this year without Jordan Love. Having to throw Malik Willis out there.
And he looked good.
They could win games. They could look good. We were all talking about Josh Dobbs for like 15 minutes two seasons ago for Minnesota.
Ready?
You take Tua out of Miami's offense.
You had someone.
You can't get Tyreek Hill the ball. You can't do anything.
It was even kind of funny. Your best backup quarterback, you cut him. I think Mike White in Miami would have been okay.
Would have probably been okay.
Which then, of course, he plays in Buffalo in the last game of the year, and it doesn't look good. But
well, it's tough to look better than Joe Milton.
But how do you also, with a team and a quarterback situation where you are looking at possibly the most dangerous when it comes to your starter, how is it that you have the worst backup quarterback situation in the division? The Patriots last year, they had Joel Milton. Everything was working fine there. And Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
The Jets had Tyrod Taylor. The Bills have Trubisky. Miami has Skylar Thompson and a bag of pixie dust. And Tyler Huntley, who I will still never understand how that man got a Pro Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Baltimore has the best PR team in the league.
Yeah. But it's just, when you look at the division now, the Jets had their moment in the sun where they might threaten the Bills, this current iteration of the Bills. That ended quickly. I am excited, though, to see what Aaron Glenn can do there in terms of setting the culture. I like him a lot.
All of a sudden, New England is right back to being the team most threatening again.
And for me, it's not even close. Look who their quarterback is. Drake May is a physical specimen with a great arm, great athleticism, good size. And the team is trying to kind of put everything.
And the team admitted a mistake.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo was not ready for this, and we thought he was.
And they moved on. And I mentioned it too. They've done, I think, the best they can. I think they were really hoping T. Higgins would hit free agency. Even Darius Slayton would hit free agency. Yeah. And it didn't happen. They were able to resign and or franchise tag. So they go and get Stephon Diggs. We've talked about it. They probably want to go get Travis Hunter or offensive lineman. But very quickly, I am looking at New England far more than I am Miami.
When it comes to organizational direction, I'm taking New England more seriously than anyone else. The Jets, they have their problems. Woody Johnson clearly is an issue for that team when he oversees them. Then there's Miami, who has managed to take a once promising roster and crumble it into the ground by themselves and on their own accord. They've done it to themselves. And New England just sat there and went, wait, we can be in second again? Bills are looking at everyone going, why are they all eating glue?
It's been bad, but it's also now entered the point with the Chiefs where until they don't win the division, I'm not picking against them. It's the same with the Bills. Until they actually do lose the division.
Until a team claims
I'm not picking against them. I'm just not.
Because it's going to also have to be. Yeah, the Bills have to lose it. Right now, there is no team capable of claiming it. Which was kind of what the Bills had to do to New England. Was, yeah, until the Patriots lose it, it's their division. And the Bills said, all right, we're going to take it from you then.
They gave them a fight in 2019, then they won it in 2020. And then, since then.
When Brady left.
Yeah, well that,
but still happened.
Fine. Yeah.
But that's when the Bills are like, okay, this is the opportunity. We're going to take it. The Bills are not offering that opportunity to anyone right now.
No, and the Chiefs haven't for I think over a decade now.
Yeah, it's
for the AFC West. Now the West looks much better.
The West is far more threatening than the East has ever been. The West put up three playoff teams this year. The East put two teams in the bottom 10.
It's just the East is in a bad spot. Again, I like Aaron Glenn. I'm excited to see what he does there. But I also would be very leery of them reaching on a quarterback. That's not how you are going to rebuild essentially from the foundations up for them. New England, I think, has their quarterback. Miami, I think, is in hell. Miami is where
Miami
you don't want to be.
Miami has put themselves in hell.
That's where you – it's one thing
Miami
to be
is,
bad and have to build the foundations up, the Jets, or New England last year. It's another thing where Miami, regularly you're going to go, yeah, but they are better than this team. They are better than that team.
Miami also has put themselves in a place of where their only pitch is, hey, we're Miami.
And it's,
you could be on South Beach.
And it's a good pitch. It is. It's how they're getting some of these guys to comfortably go there.
And that's also how you're building a culture that's soft. Your identity is about the city, less about the team.
I saw, and it's, this is not my thought. I saw it on Twitter today. And that was the thing, too, is you built a team of guys who love the perks of being a football player, not the game of football. And the perks of being a football player is, yeah, I get to go to South Beach. And I'm going to play for the Dolphins. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be the most intense fan base in the world. Rather than, I want to go win a Super Bowl. I'm a nut bar for this.
Yes.
And they don't have that. It's why when the degrees go below 50, pretty much everyone in ink goes, yeah, loss. They're done. Loss. It's the construction.
You look at
the
schedule of Miami in December, if you're an opposing fan base, and you go, all right, sick.
Yeah, if they're coming to any northern team, sweet.
Awesome.
Just a poorly, poorly constructed roster. 803-0550, the number to call before we hit our next timeout. Listen to Show Up in the Bulldog all week for your chance to win 2 lawn tickets to see Breaking Benjamin and 3 Days Grace at Darien Lake Amphitheater on September 17th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets are on sale at livenation.com. You're listening to WGR. Segment here to get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here.
Josh Schmidt is here.
He is here. He is here. And I was catching myself and I'm like, what am I going to do? No. And I did
it. The look on your face when you did that, it looked like you said a swear word.
I know. I did. I did the heavy eye roll. I'm like, come on, man. Ugh. Listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres are in action tonight. Again, 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop at home against the Maple Leafs. We only have one more team still looking to clinch their spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Excuse me.
One more team in the East.
Yes.
Both teams in the Western Wild Card still need to clinch theirs. But for the East talking point, Montreal. They had won 6 in a row to really put themselves in pole position to finish this out. They then lost 3 straight, including last night against Chicago.
Against Chicago, come on.
Yep, in a shootout. Their highly touted rookie forward out of Russia, Ivan Demidov, 2 points, a goal, all in the first period, looked great. And then he kind of didn't. He had very much the stereotypical Russian prospect, which is, oh, he's going to be so skillful. You're going to love him on offense. And he's going to absolutely do nothing on defense as Chicago takes the lead 3-2.
So,
brutal.
Everything is effectively going to get determined tonight when it comes to not just with how the playoff race goes, but also if Thursday's games are going to have more drama to them.
Mm-hmm.
Columbus takes on Philadelphia. If they lose in any fashion, they're done. They have to win. Have to win. They have the tiebreakers when it would come to pure wins if Montreal were to lose its last game.
Mm-hmm.
In regulation. It has to be in regulation. The magic number is 1. Buffalo against Toronto is also a clinching game for the Atlantic title.
Mm-hmm.
If Toronto gets any point in any fashion, they have the 1 seed. They will play Ottawa.
I want that one.
Tampa plays against Florida. Tampa needs to win against Florida and for Toronto to lose to have a chance. Ooh, actually, nope. Never mind. Toronto's going to get – they're still not clinched to it, though. What is the main tiebreaker for this? Is it regulation wins? Because if so, that's dumb.
Or is it goal difference?
It might be head-to-head.
Could be head-to-head, too. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's
because that's the only reason that there's not – there's no, like, clinch for them.
Mm-hmm.
On having it be the division.
Real quick, who do you think Montreal wants or Washington wants to play?
Oh my God, they're going to get. You want it to be Montreal.
Yeah.
Because, ready? On Saturday, I'm leaving the building, and with 8 minutes left in the second period, Washington is losing 6-0 to Columbus.
That's why I asked. Columbus has beaten them 2 times in a row now. They played them on Saturday and Sunday. They beat them 7-0, then 4-1.
Oh my God. But also, I want the team that's reeling. If Columbus loses in any fashion, mm-hmm. they're done.
They're out.
And that means that you've got a sliding Montreal Canadiens team coming to you. All right, cool. I don't think that Washington has the long-term viability to make it through a full playoff run. It
seems to be the consensus.
But at the same time, you're definitely a lot better than Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that.
Columbus plays tonight at Philadelphia, 7 o'clock. Montreal are not back in action again until tomorrow at home against Carolina. That's where they can,
if you get 1 point against Carolina, you shut the door on Columbus. But if they don't, and I'm starting to think they won't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? Ottawa may have made the playoffs, but please let this happen.
That's going to do it for me and Derek. We'll be back on tomorrow from 10 to 12. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.